countdown control. 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are, we are,
we are.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of Teenagers with Attitude, where words don't mean what you think they mean. I'm your special host for this bonus episode. Zach's not here. He's not in the host chair like he usually is. I'm Mike, and with me are, well, you'll already know one of them. It's Matt.
My name's Matt.
You got a couple of returning guests here as well. We've got Wade.
Hey, I'm glad to be back, even if it is for this weird non-Power Rangers offshoot that's worse.
Yeah, it's something. It's something.
It's special.
Yeah. Speaking of something, let's welcome back Jules.
Hey, good to be back for a series, for any sort of Tokusatsu series I'm not that familiar with, so this will be interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we have a new friend joining us for the first time. Everybody, welcome George.
This was our third take.
This was our third take.
Don't reveal that.
Technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's like a comedy thing.
More than that, I wanted to keep all kinds of stuff.
I wanted to keep the old takes in the intro because I thought it would be funny, but you know, Mr. Perfectionist
here. We're
trying
to be professionals here, Joe.
Yeah, we're trying to be like a real subscriber content.
Look, we're trying to be professionals here, not like the folks who made VR Troopers
I thought you were gonna say the South Figaro podcast, in which case, you know, zing. But thank you for.
Oh yeah, by the way, yes, our guest is from the South Figaro podcast, which you may have heard Matt and me and Wade on at various points. It's ostensibly about video games, but really it's mostly just about getting mad at Konami.
Yeah,
well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, good content
and Square Enix.
Ah, jeez. Yep. Last year, yeah. My last podcast of last year was in praise of Konami. Boy, how things have turned around.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, this podcast is normally a Power Rangers podcast, but we're doing some special bonus episodes. Longtime listeners might have noticed that every so often in conversation we'll, you know, mention another show, we'll have a digression about another show, and, you know, we'll kind of cut things short in the interest of trying to keep things on track, because we're already spending a lot of time talking about a 20-minute program. But we want the opportunity to talk about, you know, these other shows, these other, you know, nostalgic kids shows that are usually related to Power Rangers in some way or similar to Power Rangers in some way. And that's what these bonus episodes are for. And the first one we're going to tackle was the first sister show that Power Rangers ever got, VR Troopers, Virtual Reality Troopers, because virtual reality was the hot new thing in the 90s.
Yeah, this is strangely topical for right now.
I wouldn't exactly call this a sister show, because it's not actually related to the Power Ranger universe in any way. You know, like how the first Kamen Rider that they actually brought here was tied to Power Ranger canon because he made an appearance in the show. This was brought over to capitalize on it, and it was
Saban. It was Saban's first attempt to try and like recapture the lightning in a bottle that was Power Rangers, and it did not work for them.
Nope.
Well, I mean, it had two seasons. I thought that's usually, for 90s shows, that's actually pretty good. Most shows barely last, you know, 5 episodes in the 90s or so.
That's a fair point.
Well, in that case, George, I think you would agree with the person who edited the Wikipedia article here, because one of my favorite things about the Wikipedia article for VR Troopers is that there's the sentence, the series was deemed successful, but not as successful as Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And you know how usually there's the little blue bit that's either a number linking to a citation or just the phrase citation needed? But in here it's, the series was deemed successful, and then the little text, by whom?
Nice.
That's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, but it had two seasons, so, you know, you gotta give it that.
It did have two seasons, but a lot of things had two seasons.
One could argue two seasons too many.
Yeah, yeah, I, 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 I could and would.
I did not hate this show.
I didn't hate it either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, but I didn't hate
it. I mean, it was...
I didn't hate it. I just felt like I was hallucinating when I was watching it.
When you look at the even worse Power Ranger knockoffs that came afterwards, like Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad and all that garbage...
Now, I liked Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad when I was a kid.
I mean, I liked VR Troopers when I was a kid.
I mean, this was not the worst show capitalizing on the Power Ranger craze.
Well, that's probably Tattooed Teenagers. Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. And all these shows we're mentioning, we will get to them. But right now, let's try and focus on VR Troopers. So the deal with VR Troopers is, unlike Power Rangers, which was taken from a single television series from Japan, this one was actually edited from three of them. The three shows were related. They were part of what was called the Metal Hero series. It was Superhuman Machine Metalder, Dimensional Warrior Spielbon, and Space Sheriff Shire.
I love Japanese names.
They're so good.
I especially love Japanese names that have random English words in them.
Yeah.
Those are the best. the end result was really weird and choppy, and also the source material was way older than the source material for Power Rangers. So even though this was, like, every part of the American footage is very obviously from the 90s, every part of the Tokusatsu footage is very obviously from the 80s.
Really? Do you know do you actually know the exact date of those original shows compared to Zio Ranger, which made up Power Rangers?
Like something like 10 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I've got it here. Like, Shida, which was using VR Troopers, was 84. Spielbon, which was also using VR Troopers, was 86. And Metalda was 87.
Wow. That's actually surprising, because I actually...
Yeah, and this show came out in America in 1994, so yep. A solid 10 years.
No, I'm actually surprised by that, because I actually thought that the Japanese footage looked kind of better... maybe better effects compared to, you know, the Japanese footage for Power Rangers. But maybe it had to do with the designs of the monsters, which are actually really good now that I'm looking at them again.
Well, alrighty. But, a couple interesting things about this show. So there was a sort of 7-minute pilot made for the show, I guess to pitch it to networks. That was the original version of the show, and the original version of the show only used one of the tokusatsus, and it was Superhuman Machine Metalder. And it also featured playing the main character, Jason David Frank, who played Tommy the Green Ranger on Power Rangers. Essentially, after the Green Ranger lost his powers and Frank left the show, he was going to be the lead actor on VR Troopers. But then they decided to bring his character back as the White Ranger, and so it's like, well, oh shit, we gotta retool this show. And they kind of moved everything around.
Huge missed opportunity, I gotta say.
I don't know, I'm pretty glad we got Tommy back as
the
White Ranger.
Yeah, me too, but I mean,
all told, we probably wound up, you know, better off for him coming back and doing
but,
the thing.
But putting him in this show... Like, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just like, it's such a weird thing. Like, the original 7-minute pitch was like, okay, just one main hero, and then his story, which is, you know, kind of all right. It's stock standard, you know, 90s live-action show for kids plot. But then after David Jason Frank leaves, we then try and shove in two other characters as other heroes from another... from another tokusatsu show, then have to edit into the series. Like, they made it almost way more complicated.
Yeah,
than
you see, that's the
be.
Thing. If they had stuck to the original pitch, it would have taken care of two problems that would have made VR Troopers a much better show. One, assuming that it was going to be just Jason David Frank, then that means it was just going to be the source material from one show. Therefore, you wouldn't have that constant disconnect of constantly seeing the heroes split up, because it's only the one hero. And two, they could have found a way to actually link this to Power Ranger canon, like being like, this is what Tommy did after being the Green Ranger, and alone would have hooked in a lot of people.
Well, the thing is, tying into the canon was something they deliberately avoided, because Power Rangers was something they were deliberately making for Fox, but VR Troopers was something Saban was making, like, on their own with the intent to sell it in syndication.
Yeah, I saw it was on UPN for me.
Yeah, it was on the WB equivalent for me when I was growing up. So
it was ever aired in Australia, which is why this is such a trip for me.
I remember this.
You know what? I think you all dodged a bullet, but that's just
I remember that this premiered for me like it was either a Saturday or a Sunday at 8 p.m., which is like the strangest time to have a show like this play.
Really? That's fucking bizarre.
Well, I mean, like, some of the villains are taken out in pretty, like, not especially violent ways, but just more violent than, like, Power Rangers.
Yeah, that was another thing. That was actually one of the things I remember, that this show was, like, noticeably more brutal compared to Power Rangers. Like, on the one hand, yeah.
Well, that's something we're not going to see as much of on this episode, but when we get to part two, there's some out-and-out warfare with tanks and missiles and stuff going on.
Yeah, on the one hand, they all seem to be robots, so it's probably not as big a deal, but still, you know.
Well, mutant robots.
Mutant robots have feelings.
As little sense as that makes. But in any case, so originally the pilot of this, the original show as it was put together, was going to be called Cybertron, which probably would have gotten them sued by Hasbro, I think.
There is no probably there.
Yeah.
But in the original version, let's see, Ryan Steele's name was going to be Adam Steele. He still had the thing where, like, his dad went missing and he was going to try and find his dad, and he wound up... Basically, instead of becoming a VR trooper, he would have, like, merged with a cyborg, I guess. And also, the villain was essentially the same, but the villain had a son who was Adam's rival at the dojo, I guess. And they were both trying to date the daughter of Tao, the guy who runs the dojo. The daughter is a character that is not in the final show, but she was kind of the love interest and the lady that the two of them fought over. And also, filling the Bulk and Skull role in the original version of the show were a couple of bumbling reporters by the name of Elmo and Scuzzy.
God, that name.
And, yeah, that and name. Elmo was originally going to be played by a before-he-was-famous Jamie Kennedy.
So weird.
I gotta be honest, this original premise sounds amazing, and I'm kind of salty that we didn't actually get it. I mean, the bad guy's son is a rival character, and it's a love triangle between the hero and the villain's son and this girl. I would have been all over that.
They didn't end up canceling that for Power Rangers Dino Thunder, with the White Ranger being the son of the main villain.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Oh, wow, and now that you mention that, the villain in Dino Thunder and the villain here are very similar now that I think about it.
They look very similar. I was reminded, like, physically, like, actors look the same.
No, not only that, but they both remind me of a certain infamous movie villain. Do you know who I'm thinking of?
Super Mario Brothers.
Yep, you got it. Yep. Dennis Hopper as King Koopa.
Yeah, the slick back, like, sleazy look. Yeah,
yeah, the slick back hair and the gloves and the leather, it's almost exact, like, yeah. Which I'm fine, because, you know, that actually was the best part of that train wreck of a movie, you know.
Well, then let's get back to this train wreck.
yeah, speaking of train wrecks. So that's a little bit of history on the show. Now, you guys mentioned watching this as kids, because that was something I was going to lead with, was did anyone watch this as a kid?
I did.
So how much of this do you really remember from when you were a kid?
Honestly,
little.
Way more than I actually expected. Now that we're talking about it, I'm actually getting a lot of memories back, and it's like, wow, I strangely remember a lot of this show. I mean,
okay.
Do you know that he actually finds his father at one point?
He does?
Yeah.
Huh.
I won't spoil then, because it's actually...
Well, I mean, like, in this first episode, he meets, like, a hologram of his dad?
He meets his real dad for real, and it's like a 3-episode arc. And it's actually kind of amazing. Nice. I need to go and rewatch it.
I have to ask, since he was very obviously meant to be, we don't see any of him in episode one, and we don't really get any of him until the end of episode two. But did you like Jeb the talking dog when you were a kid?
Okay, I don't remember that the dog talked.
Oh,
really?
The dog talks.
Really?
That's like the one thing everybody, as far as I can recall, that's like the one thing everyone remembers about this show.
I guess I blocked it from. I guess I blocked it from my head. Like, I remembered the
very possible.
Remember the positives.
Yeah, there's a talking dog in the
show.
Let me
guess. Does he talk like Scooby-Doo?
No. He just kind of talks like a dude.
Like a really like a surf like a surfer
yeah.
dude.
No, just kind of like some guy. It's. He doesn't have a special voice or anything. He's just, I'm a dog.
I'm
a dog.
I remember that. I just remember that 99% of 90s cartoons or shows, the dog would talk like Scooby-Doo, like the Mega Man cartoon. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, they Yeah, I guess that's the only like middle ground between speaking and making dog noises that any actor could think of.
It's like just do Scooby-Doo. Roar.
See, I can't remember if this show aired in Canada or not. Like, did it happen during season 2 of Power Rangers, you said?
Oh, I'm not really sure exactly where it happened. Rangers
here. I know that this happened like shortly at, it was during the time when Tommy left the show, cuz you know, he was originally going to be in this show. So, if you can remember around that point, that's when VR Troopers aired.
Yeah, see, like, I remember seeing some of it, but I'm wondering if it might have just been, like, VHS episodes and, like, random stuff like that. Like, I don't think I ever saw much of it. I saw enough to have, like, a base memory of it, but other than that...
Yeah, it did get some VHS releases, but that was about it.
And I think I had, like, a novelization of one of the episodes.
Oh, man. What?
Oh, my God.
Did anybody ever... Now, I got a more important question. Did anybody ever actually see toys of this thing?
I'm pretty sure I had some of the toys as well. I think, like, I was so into Power Rangers at that point that just anything that was similar to Power Rangers, I was like, well, I want it.
So I honestly don't remember seeing toys of this thing or having the interest in the toys, but whatever.
If that novelization exists, I've got to hunt that son of a bitch down.
I'm pretty sure I still have it somewhere.
Fuck, I still have the Doom novelization.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I just had a sudden flashback. I think this might have aired in Australia, but... So yeah, I had this weird memory back because my uncle, I think, stopped me from watching VR Troopers, or might have just stopped me from watching all this stuff in general as a kid, because my first introduction to all this was his Laserdisc copies of Ultraman and other stuff, like Android Kakaida, which is also part of the Metal Heroes saga. I didn't think he cared as much about Power Rangers because he wasn't into Sentai, but I think he stopped me because he was like, no, you can't let this tarnish your memory of, like, Space Sheriff Gavan and Shider and stuff.
Wait, back up. So this series is actually connected to Kikaider?
Well, like, Kikaider is, like, I think it helped inspire this series, I think.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, the thing I know about Kikaider was the anime, so I didn't know the original show was actually that old.
Oh, no, the original, like, live-action Kikaider is, like, it's a lot different than the anime. The anime is super fucking grim.
Oh, I know. It's got, like, one of the biggest downer endings I've ever seen. That is a dark-ass show.
Yeah, but no, Kikaider, like, I think was also by Ishinomori. I'll have to double check that. But yeah, it was before technically Metal Hero Saga. But I mean, if you look at Metalder and Kikaider, they're pretty much exactly alike.
Actually, now that you mention it, yeah, there is a resemblance. But yeah. What I wanted to bring up, though, because I'm actually seeing it right now as I'm watching like footage of the show. Did anyone notice how the bad guy, King Koopa, whatever his name was, that when he reveals his true form, he actually, like, briefly turns into one creature, but then turns into another?
Oh, well, yeah. we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that when we actually summarize the episode.
Okay, so you actually know what that is. All right.
You're breaking the format. You're here one time, and already you're tearing the show apart. It's coming apart at the seams. Everything's collapsing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, everything's falling apart around us.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of everything, like, collapsing and falling apart and dying... Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll be back and we'll actually start the summary.
All right.
So let's get into this. Let's get these. Let's get this train back on the rails.
And then off the rails.
And we're gonna start. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Let's be honest. This show is fucked up.
It is. It is really fucked up. And it's fucked up right from the start. We get into this trippy as hell intro sequence.
It's not trippy. It's 90s.
I don't know, man. They're flying through this weird, like, laser tube. Yeah, that's 90s. Lightning bolts.
90s.
I was about to say, aren't trippy and 90s basically interchangeable a lot of the time?
There's,
yeah.
like kinda. A witch turns into another witch.
And a dog.
There's a dog, yeah. And then there's a bit where they're like flying through a trapper keeper.
Yep.
So yeah, it's
holy
just...
shit, trapper keepers.
Professor Hart.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, this Professor
God,
Hart.
God, that I don't know, something about this image, it looks like something that would be like a, it should have been like a 4chan meme or something.
Eh, maybe. Probably for the best that it wasn't.
Yeah.
But
you keep saying that, but I yeah, I'm...
No, and I'm going to keep saying that because it's right every time.
I'm not being the contrarian here, but it's like, no, I'm remembering some good stuff about the show. Good cheesy just, stuff.
Oh, we'll see. But, all right, so I will say one nice thing. I actually do like the intro for this thing. Like, I like the intro music. I do.
It's catchy. Yeah.
It's like smooth VR or whatever you want to call it.
There's
I don't know, the guy's got
VR.
I don't know how else to say it. Like, the guy's got a real, he's like, VR.
Yeah, that
like,
guy's
like,
oh,
VR
yeah.
A genre now.
VR like,
bow, bow.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
So anyway, so we get a shot of Ryan Steele, who's this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, feathered haircut in a vest.
With a motorcycle.
Hanging out at a... Yeah, he's hanging out at a temple, I guess, and talking about how he and his dad used to spend a lot of time there when they were kids, and we actually get a little bit of a flashback of this guy and his son, like a little kid version of Ryan doing karate.
If I remember right,
yeah,
they,
it's karate.
If I remember right, they show that specific flashback image like 100 times in the show.
Yeah, it seems
like
that way.
In infinite loop, that you see it over and over them doing the kicks.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of white people doing karate, we then I'm sorry, I totally skipped. Ryan has this monologue about how he comes to this temple to think about his dad, and he does a foreshadowing thing. It's like I couldn't have known that today was the day when I would get closer than ever to finding out what happened to my dad. And then we cut to white guy karate at the dojo. There's some kind of martial arts tournament going on.
I'll say this. I've done karate. I've actually participated in karate tournaments. It's kind of on mark here. Like, they get it.
I, too, have participated in karate, and I take offense of your tone as if white people cannot do karate.
Who is it?
Yeah, it's the white people karate genre that was so prominent in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, like, I'm Chinese, I've done karate, but... It's fine to do martial arts, just don't do the spiritual aspect you're not a part of. Like,
no, yeah.
The
once again,
the one thing I noticed right off the bat is the music is just—it's just Power Rangers music. Like,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Same.
Like, they don't use the do 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 as part of the melodies of songs, but all the rest of the background music is just—it would have been in episodes of Power Rangers.
Well, it's
like,
the same composer,
especially the karate tournament stuff.
Same composer, Shuki Levy. Yeah. But here's the thing: I did not know. It says here in the credits that he was also the director. Which is kind of weird.
Wow.
Yeah, that's weird. So not only did he do the music, he directed the show. That's,
All right. Well, there's actually a really sizable crowd for this karate tournament, which I'm kind of surprised by. And in the crowd is Jeb, the dog, who's not a talking dog yet.
Yeah.
But he will be.
Yet. God. The fact that we have to say yet to about a talking dog.
So, who's,
like...
so of the three people, who does that dog belong to?
I think all of them.
Jeb
belongs
to no man. Jeb is no master.
I think he's specifically supposed to be Ryan's dog, but he also just kind of lives at the dojo. With, by the way, this dojo belongs to Tao, who we meet in this scene is an older Asian gentleman, and Ryan's best friend, JB.
JB. You know it's a black guy in the 90s because his name is initials.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I hate to say it, but that is true.
No,
yeah,
that was absolutely.
That's something we get
thing.
Into in these shows is just the unintentional stereotyping that we see everywhere, just every which way.
Zach wearing an African necklace.
Well, to be fair, I think he's less stereotypical than Zach from Power Rangers.
That's true.
I do think he
absolutely.
Is actually.
In fact, JB's kind of thing is that he's good with computers, which is to say it's 1994 and he knows how to use one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what the term reboot actually means.
I'm going to access the Internet Explorer in English.
Yeah, something like that.
I hate that trope so much.
Yeah, we're going to see in a bit. He's actually trying to, like, do the bookkeeping for the dojo, so I guess he's, like...
He knows how to use Excel.
He works as Tao's accountant.
Yeah. He knows spreadsheets.
I love whenever old 90s shows, like, try to do the internet. It's always so hilarious.
Oh, that's basically this whole show, is the 1990s trying to do the internet.
That reminds me of
how... 1990s trying to do technology in general and fucking it up at every turn.
That reminds me of one of the final Ninja Turtle episodes where April O'Neil discovers the internet, because the internet, like, just came out at that time. So she's like, wow, the internet!
Yeah, there's also that episode where, like, Baxter Stockman and, like, the weird computer guy are floating through cyberspace.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we got to do a Ninja Turtles podcast at some point.
Nope.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we'll do them all. We'll do them all. We've got literally the rest of our lives.
Oh, God damn it. Don't say it like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of something that's only going to last a couple more years, we cut to a newspaper, the Voice Underground Daily, which is where Caitlin works, which is... she's also Ryan and JB's friend. She essentially fills the show's role of being the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there has to be the girl.
Specifically, the girl who never, ever has any interest in either of the main characters, but probably has like 200 boyfriends of side characters.
Probably. And also, I don't know. Also, from what I read, apparently she's the only one of the three to never actually take down a monster herself.
Really?
Oh. It's kind of fucked up.
Well, I mean, no, it's, you know, it's because of the footage. They're restricted because the two of them work as a pair.
It's true. I'm pretty sure on that show there must be some footage of her, like, counterpart taking down a monster. Like...
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, that doesn't strike me as the sort of thing they do deliberately.
No, because, not to jump ahead, but one of the big faults of the show is that it is repetitive as hell with its footage.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah. It's like, hey, if you've seen seen one fight, you've seen them all, basically.
Even so,
it happens a lot on Power Rangers,
like,
too.
But not to the degree of this one. This one is like, you can set your watch to it, it's like, yep, now they're going to do this flip and this move, and there's the finisher.
Yeah. It's like the worst of Power Rangers directed fights, but throughout an entire fucking show. Like...
Yeah, well, that's. I think that's basically the summary for everything here. Is like Power Rangers, but not done quite
as well.
Yeah.
It does have.
Which is a weird thing to say because Power Rangers was slapdash as fuck.
What are you talking about?
Skip over the fact that this news agent, this place of journalism she works at, is helmed by a sea captain of some sort.
Oh yeah, no, we're getting there. Here's where we meet. Here's where we meet Woody.
Oh, God.
Who's like
Woody?
Woody. He runs the newspaper apparently, but he seems to spend most of his time at his desk playing with toys.
Yeah,
I
that's
can
what
relate
I guess.
To this character.
He's stupid.
Basically, yeah. I don't know how a guy like this ends up running a newspaper, but okay. But we first meet him. He go ahead.
No, just saying, like, you know, just it's like a tech startup. You don't know how these people started this company, but it happens. Someone will put money into it.
Fuck,
but,
Reddit can
start,
get away
we meet
with
him,
it.
We meet him answering a phone call, and basically, like, we get a lot of, like, shifting camera shots of him going, what? Who? Where? When? Why?
W5.
Yep, W5. Do-do-do-do. But anyway, so he slams the phone down and hurts his finger.
How does he even do it?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out.
he like accidentally squeezes it between like the phone and the other half of the phone as he slams it down.
But like you'd have to like do that deliberately.
They should
have put your finger over one of the speakers. Like
they should have just made him like the father of either Bulk or Skull. Get that continuity in there.
I would have been into that actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, that would explain a lot.
Yeah. Well, he's nursing his finger and he calls Caitlin in and. Here's a weird thing with Caitlin. So, she's a reporter, but she also is a photographer.
Yeah, photojournalist.
That's not weird at all. That's why my sister does that job. They kind of do have to do all the stuff. The, you know, the editing, the reporting, blah, 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 multitasking.
I guess Superman the Animated Series lied to me then, because I was always under the impression that it was separate.
I guess it depends.
There was the journalist, and then there was the photographer.
I guess it depends, like, how well staff your agency is, like, also... Whether the actual reporter is a good photographer or not.
I'll tell you what the real shocker is. So she's a reporter in a 90s kids show, and she's not in peril every 5 minutes? Really?
Fair point, actually. And doesn't have a cameraman sidekick.
She's not like going for a hot scoop and then gets kidnapped by a monster? That's weird.
Well, I mean, we'll find out in the second episode. She also knows karate.
Of course.
She can defend herself?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know if I like that.
Well, that's a thing that happens in this show and in Power Rangers is, you know, the women are surprisingly competent. So
everyone knows karate as well. Everyone.
It's nice. Well, yeah, everyone knows karate. Absolutely everyone.
I'm just assuming if it's like anything coming out of the 90s, though, there's like a 50-50 chance everyone knows karate. Give or take.
Yeah, I'd say 70-30.
a disproportionately high amount of karate in the
karate
90s.
Like, knowledge of karate is like a gene. Like, there are people who know karate and people who don't know karate.
Oh, so it's like Metal Gear, then.
No, god damn it.
The women in the show have clothes.
So fucking zing.
And can talk.
Boom. Roasted. Alright, okay. So, speaking of Boom Roasted, we cut to the office of Carl Zickdor.
Not a villain.
Great name.
He's not a villain.
Yeah, he's near as I can tell, he's just sort of a vague evil businessman.
Okay, can we talk about
him? We kind of see him dabbling in real estate and I guess nuclear technology.
Okay,
but like, yeah, he's just a vaguely evil businessman with an iguana. Juliet the iguana.
Okay, important thing here.
Was it Julius?
Juliet.
Important thing here that you guys missed. Two things. First, to nurse his like pinched finger.
Woody
sticks his hand, like his finger, into like a steaming hot cup of coffee.
Oh yeah, that was
that
weird.
Would hurt.
Yeah.
So
well, the thing about the coffee
bad.
Is it doesn't start steaming until he puts his finger in.
Like they what is that?
Like the finger pain makes his coffee hot.
But also, like, then they would have to like actually edit that into the scene itself.
I feel like somebody like crossed their jokes over. Like they wanted to do the cartoon thing where the guy gets something really hot, so he dips it in snow or whatever, and he's like, oh.
Yeah.
But like, it's like a
You know what? Woody seems like the kind of guy who would keep a coffee mug around to make it seem like he was a serious, like, you know, guy who runs the newspaper. But that's fucking Kool-Aid in there.
but then it's steaming.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what the deal is with the captain hat.
Why not?
Maybe he's a former
captain of a ship, I guess.
Maybe he was shipwrecked for a long period of time and was under the sun too long.
Yeah, I want to know his dark tragic.
Yeah, it must have been dark. Yeah, I actually do.
Yeah, the origin story of Woody.
I mean, you could just ask Strong Bad. It's always cool to dress like a ship's captain.
I mean, let's be honest. If you owned a captain's hat, wouldn't you just wear it all the time? Like, come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh man.
But so anyway, Caitlin is sent out on this story to investigate Carl Zickdor intending to demolish a building. They imply that the building is historic in some way, but we don't really get any details.
It's historic. And also, it's been around for a long time, I guess.
And also something important that's also important to establish, Carl Zickdor is building a power plant. Now, stereotypically, yeah. If you've got, like, the scummy, like, megacore tycoon type of guy, you demolish the historically relevant buildings to build, like, a movie theater, or a strip mall, or a golf course. Not a power plant, not
but
public infrastructure.
It is nuclear power, that's the thing.
Oh yeah, it's nuclear power, right, and because this was, like, the 80s or 90s or whatever the fuck, and nobody actually knew how nuclear power fucking works, that means it's dangerous and unsafe because 3 Mile Island happened, kids.
Ugh, save the Earth!
Oh, fuck off.
Ugh, nature!
I have never, like, immediately with this shot, I'm like, I really hope our protagonists die terrible death and Carl Zickdor just keeps building nuclear power plants just despite these dumb fucking hippies.
God damn it. Jesus Christ!
But it's not renewable. Yeah, neither are fossil fuels. God damn it.
Well, anyway, so Carl Zickdor has a few things that he likes in addition to nuclear power. He just straight up likes watching buildings go down.
I thought you were going to say...
Who doesn't?
That's just nice. I thought you were going
to
say...
Yeah, again, I find that pretty reasonable, the thing with the iguana where he's like, look at it, Juliet. Now, that's a little weird. Yeah.
But he's also got an office full of the background ladies from the Addicted to Love music video.
Yeah.
Part of this also reminded me a bit of Tron Legacy, because it's him with all these women dressed exactly alike, just like that one scene in Tron Legacy, and then also the whole idea of the main character's dad is missing and also tied to virtual reality?
Wow, holy shit.
If you dig,
he rides a motorcycle and is also blonde and wears a leather jacket.
If you dig deep enough, every single like Hollywood show or movie ever has ties with each other in some way. So
oh no, of course.
It wouldn't surprise me if they go, oh yeah, we got the idea from a screenwriter from VR Troopers.
It's not standard plot device and everything. Like, we've talked about how Carl Zichter looks just like fucking Dennis Hopper from Super Mario Brothers movie, but also happens to resemble the lead villain in Power Rangers Dino Thunder. So, yeah, these things just end up, coalescing in some weird ways.
Yeah. Because all it takes is, like, one guy to have worked on one thing, then pitching the idea he already did to another thing, and, yeah, that's how it goes.
All right. Well, so I do want to point out that as we we meet Zictor, we see it's some tokusatsu footage of what is clearly an evil building.
Describe
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Audience,
where there's a building in a kid show that's very clearly
this
is an evil business.
Is straight up the beginning of Deus Ex 1 with the black tile and the weird ominous backlighting and just all that shit. That just kind of imagine that, except somehow crappier looking. I don't know how they managed that, but there you go.
Now, something I love about when this building gets demolished, and there's a couple things getting demolished in this episode, and every time it's stock footage. It's really bad stock footage.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Stock footage from what?
Just stock footage. That's the thing. It's not from anything. It's just we found some footage of a building being demolished, and we put it in our show.
Huh.
I mean, that's the same for
tokusatsu.
They did that occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normally that's probably fine, but in here they establish it as a historically significant building, and you look
what
and it
is
doesn't...
it?
Yeah, it's kind of important.
It's just some office building, but it's great because you clearly get the shot of the crowd standing on the cliffside, and then it cuts to really low quality stock footage of the building. I think it's just a still image at first, and then it cuts back to the crowd, and then we get the countdown, and Zictor is fucking loving this count, and he's like, begin the demolition in 5, 4, 3, and he's getting a huge boner, 2, 1, and then the building comes down and the crowd's like, oh!
Yeah, first impression of our villain, I like him.
Yeah!
He's kind of fun and campy.
He's
fun, he's campy, and he makes shitty hippies angry, so yeah.
Exactly.
Right on.
He fits all the criteria. The slick hair, the lizard pet, the big ring, the concubine assistants, whatever you want to call it.
Weird fucking harem.
Only thing he's missing is a giant. Only thing he's missing is a giant cigar. But it's a kids' show, so.
Well, here's what's weird about the harem is that after the demolition, he says, "Return to virtual reality and await further instructions," and then they morph into, I don't even know what they're called, but this show's equivalent of putties, basically.
Is it Scugs or something like that?
It might have been Scugs.
Phanto from Super
really
Mario
dumb
2.
Name.
Yeah, those are some cool
mask.
Yeah, there are some cool looking masks though.
Oh yeah, Phanto who got pissed off whenever you grabbed the key in Mario 2.
Fuck Phanto.
They do look like Phanto.
Yeah, they also kind of remind me a little of the Cogs from Zio, a little.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, I have to come clean. I think the monster designs in the show are better than the ones in Power Rangers. I just think how everything is all big and machine looking. That's actually what this show reminded me of. This show reminded me of Mega Man X, because every single bad guy of the week looked like a Mega Man X boss.
Well, part of that is from the tokusatsu tradition. Depending on what series you're watching, with Metal Hero specifically, everything was of course machinery based.
Meant military looking robot things. But you know what? Military looking robot things are awesome. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, we're not there yet. First, we've got to have JB doing the bookkeeping. We cut to the dojo. He's trying to do the bookkeeping on the computer. And he's like, oh man, Tao just hasn't been keeping records, man. This is bad. I've got to figure this shit out. And Ryan's like, yeah, man, I know. We're getting all these new students. I don't think we ever see the new students, nope. But okay. I mean, we got a lot of trophies on the wall. Meanwhile, Caitlin is sitting in like a lounge chair in the dojo working on her article, I guess. And she's playing with Jeb and tells him to roll over. He doesn't. And she says, well, what if I give you a hamburger? And then Ryan cuts in and says, Jeb's the only dog I've ever met who won't take bribes. Because, you know, Jeb's supposed to be smart. He's supposed to be real smart. Remember
that.
Does
anyone know
that from when he starts talking?
But my dog's pretty smart as well. And he doesn't, like, they're dogs. That's just instinct. You offer them food and they'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the smart thing to do. You want the food, you do the thing to get the food.
Exactly. It's not the dog doesn't understand what a hamburger might actually be, because, you know, dogs can learn up to, like, 300 words in their vocabulary. I'm pretty sure at this point, hanging out with three American teens, they'd know what a hamburger is.
Yeah, and I mean, for a hamburger, I'd get on the ground and start rolling around like an asshole.
Who wouldn't?
I was going to ask if anybody knew...
I want to be offended about your assertion that Americans just talk about hamburgers all the time,
but
that's, totally
let's
do.
Be real, yeah, some stereotypes can be sort of true sometimes, and that's one of them.
Dude, I've been wanting a hamburger all week.
I want a hamburger right now, damn it!
Yeah, actually.
Sorry.
Well, speaking of beautiful things, JB's computer starts doing computer magic.
Oh, I love this scene.
Yeah, it starts to freak out a little bit. He's like, oh, man, come on. I just had this thing fixed. But, like, it starts wiggling around.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing computers do.
Now,
JB, that's not a computer issue. That's, like, a possession issue. Like,
does anyone... I forget. Does anyone in the show ask, is that supposed to happen with the computer?
No, I don't think they actually do. I think they realize once the computer's, like, literally shaking, something's wrong.
That's also always an old cliche with this stuff. Like, people who don't know computers, when the computer does a weird thing, it's like, is it supposed to do that?
I'm kind of surprised. We don't get that here. What we do get is Professor Horatio Hart appears on the screen. And, folks, if you haven't seen Professor Horatio Hart, it is he's an older black gentleman surrounded by... kaleidoscopic, like, rainbow background.
Computer magic.
Like, he's sitting in front of a green screen and staring directly, like, in front of him, and every time he's on, it is so obvious that he's reading a cue card.
He looks like he came straight out of a Tim and Eric skit.
Yeah,
he does!
It's so bizarre!
Also,
like,
Horatio Hart...
what the fuck is going on?
Horatio Hart sounds like a Simpsons character's name.
I mean, it's a good alliteration name, like... You get that in comics a lot, so I guess it works here for this sort of superhero show.
Yeah. But he's like, I'm here because I have a message for Ryan Steele. I used to work with your father. And Ryan just goes, my father? But that's impossible. He's been missing for 10 years.
And exposition.
Basically, they do the exposition train. And then he's like, hey, I need you to come to the lab. I'll give you the instructions on how to get there. And like, okay, I guess we'll just get in the car and go to this lab. And we cut back to Zictor's HQ, and the harem just kind of know that this has happened. They're just like, hey, so Horatio Hart has made contact with Ryan Steele.
They sensed it in the virtual space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. And Zictor's like, well, shit, that's not good. And so he does the most amazing thing in this whole show. He sits down at his desk, he puts his hand on a crystal ball, and he says, forces of darkness empower me, take me back to my virtual reality. And then a whole bunch of lightning happens, he turns into a goblin, and then he turns into an evil... like, ruler king on a crown in this weird space, and we cut to tokusatsu footage of just, I don't even know what the fuck, it's his weird...
He turns...
evil general addressing his army of darkness,
But he turns into one thing and then turns into another thing. It's weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Is he like Frieza, that he has, like, multiple forms? He's like, I'm just gonna jump to form 3.
I mean, it's a smart move to make. I just want to say, like, when I'm dying as an old lady, I want that to be my last words. Forces of darkness empower me. Return me to my virtual reality. Say that my deathbed in front of my family. Just have them wonder what the fuck's going on.
On the other hand, virtual wizard is totally a kick-ass title.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it actually is.
But, so, here's kind of the crux of how confused this show is about what virtual reality means. Because it seems to think that it's an alternate dimension of some
Well, of course,
kind.
It's the 90s.
To be fair, Time Magazine can also sometimes mistake virtual reality for an alternate dimension of some kind.
Yeah, where no one has shoes and everyone's just floating around on a beach.
Yep.
Oh, man. I think that makes all of this, like, extra funny, because, like, back when the show was being made, like, the actual tech, as far as virtual reality was concerned, was like, we got, like, the Virtual Boy,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this show going, like, yeah, VR is the future. It's going to allow scientists to make this other dimension where you can fight evil,
I guess.
It's
a good thing we've moved away from that. Oh, no, wait.
I just want to, like, during this whole evil general's roll call of his lieutenants, just seems to go, Palmer Lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, but the names we do get during this evil general roll call, we get Decimator,
yes.
Zeltan, Toxoid, and Blueborg. And then he calls forth General Ivar to lead my army of mutant robots.
Yes.
Terrible names, really cool designs.
They're typical, like, cartoon supervillain names, whatever.
Yeah,
they're fine.
But again, we have this show not knowing what words mean and what words can't go together.
Yeah.
Mutant robots.
What does that imply? Like, were they mutants before they became robots, or were they robots that somehow mutated?
Maybe the way it works is that there's some sort of autonomous computer code that automatically creates these robots. And if there's, like, a glitch in the system, it creates, like, rogue robots. They go Maverick, basically, to pick up on Snuggleworth's Mega Man X comparison. I guess they would be, like, Mavericks?
No, that makes about as much sense as anything else.
Except we don't see, like, any of the good robots. Like, they're all Mavericks.
Yeah, I think I want to say...
No.
I think,
maybe there was, like, a mutant uprising and all the mutant robots...
Yeah, maybe they killed all the good robots.
Killed all the good robots.
Other thing I want to say is that this image of the main bad guy already having, like, an army's worth of bad guys, like, rallying around him, really cool.
Yeah,
oh,
hasn't
yeah,
this guy...
a great shot.
Which, of course...
Hasn't this guy
yeah.
basically already won? Because he's, like, a multi-millionaire who has the license to build nuclear technology
in the United States. He's won
in...
Like, he owns virtual reality, apparently, but, like, he hasn't... He's trying to obtain all of regular reality?
So,
he can build nuclear power plants, though, so why not just get the bomb?
I guess. Somehow, like, buying all the real estate... like, ties into his plan, I guess.
I think
he doesn't want
to destroy the world. He wants to just pave over it.
I guess. But at the start of this, like, he's getting his army together. It's like, prepare for the final assault on the reality barrier. Which...
Some great...
Reality barrier, by the way.
Now, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I, honest to God, do not remember when this conversation comes up. But another thing to VR Troopers' credit is it does answer a long-standing question I had at the time with shows like this, where if the main bad guy already has, like, let's say, four generals or an army of dudes, why does he send them out one at a time to face the heroes instead of sending them all at once? Because, like... For example, you look at Sailor Moon and how Queen Beryl has four generals and how the Sailor Scouts have to struggle just to take out one at a time. I kept thinking, man, if all four of them just came at once, they would be the Sailor Scouts would be destroyed. So at some point in VR Troopers, somebody actually asked the main bad guy, why don't you just send out your entire force to take these heroes out? And he actually does give a legitimately good answer. He says, because if I did that, I would lose control over them. They would, like, rebel and try to take me down, you know? And I was like, oh, that's actually a reasonable explanation.
That makes a scary amount of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you send them all out at once, but then what are you going to do after they beat the heroes? You can't recall them. So I actually give VR Troopers credit for, you know, giving an explanation to that long, annoying question I've had.
Well, these monsters seem pretty loyal to the guy, though. Like, they keep saying, all hail Lord Grimlord, master of virtual reality.
Well, yeah,
but
they are
under, like, mind control or
something. But they are in his domain, so I guess once you send them out to Earth, it's all fair game.
Like, you're not going to go to King Henry VIII, hey, fuck you, right in the middle of the court. Like,
yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, you could, but...
Let's see how that ends for you.
Yeah. I still would...
Say, I do love General Ivar, just because I mentioned earlier, like, off the recording, that his voice reminded me of someone so clearly, and I realized it was Genii from fucking Digimon. And that's such a weird thing, hearing this kindly old man voice this terrifying robot mutant general.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The majority of these monsters are all played by, like, anime veteran voice actors.
Yeah, that's I recognize a lot of them.
And at one point, Walter White, but, you know, well, pff, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, I don't think he was in VR Troopers, but... Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that anything under Saban's umbrella pretty much shared the same pool of voice actors.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, moving on, I guess.
Like, yes, moving on. So... we get our first sort of fight. He sends out two of his robots into the real world, because he can do that in spite of the reality barrier, I guess. He sends out Air Striker and Fighter Bot, who are basically a helicopter robot and a fighter jet robot. And we cut to this red car that our heroes are in a lot, because there's a lot of tokusatsu footage of a similar red car.
Mm-hmm.
Although, in a second here, we're going to see them being chased and shot at and stuff, and you see the tokusatsu footage, and it's very clearly just one person in the car, and because it's a Japanese car, they're on the opposite side of the car driving,
mm-hmm.
and it's... Oh, man, it's kind of bad.
Yeah, it was very obvious.
Oh, and the footage
is,
like,
grainy as fuck, too. It's the kind
of
thing I probably wouldn't have noticed
as a
kid, but...
Yeah, I didn't notice any of this. I was just looking at the cool, like, you know, explosions and flying robots. And
but I noticed it immediately watching it.
Yeah, yeah. But they knew nobody was going to pay attention.
Yeah. But so Air Striker and Fighter Bot start shooting missiles at the car. And they're like, oh, shit, they've been alerted to our presence.
What's wrong, T-Dot? Too boring? I hear you yawning as if this was a boring sequence of, you know...
I've been awake for nearly 24 hours, man.
Robots, man! Robots and explosions!
Anyway, is this revenge for every time I try and give you shit on your podcast? Is that what
this
is?
That was not the intention at first, but you know what? Let's roll with it.
Cross-podcast beef! Fight! Fight! Fight!
Alright, so anyway, any fucking way. So they start getting shot at, and like, oh man, we gotta find this bridge so we can get to the lab. And then they have the brilliant idea to get out of the car and run away on foot through the woods.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, okay, sure. And they bring Jeb with them, because apparently they decided to bring them with him to this mysterious lab instead of just leave him at the dojo.
Leave him with who?
Orphan a dog?
Just at the dojo. He's a dog. He'll be fine.
I guess.
And the thing is, well, they're running from this robot. They've got him on his leash. And they're not, like, just be like... Whoever was putting the show together couldn't even just, like, get a trained dog who would just, like, run alongside the actors. It's just him, like, oh, we're running for our lives, but we gotta be careful to guide this dog on this leash. And it's kinda shitty.
I do love that the dog's real-life name is also Zeb as well. So they couldn't... So Zeb plays Jeb? I'm guessing because they needed a name that sounds similar enough to the dog so he'd listen?
I was actually gonna
ask... Why even fucking bother changing it at that point?
Yeah, just called starring Zeb as himself.
Yeah.
I was going to ask a bit back if anybody knew what JB stood for, but according to this wiki, it's never revealed.
No, why would it be? Like,
yeah.
It's JB.
He's not the main character. Who cares?
I don't know. That seems kind of shitty. I mean, even Bulk and Skull, we eventually learned what their real names were.
Yeah, but those are jokes.
Yeah,
like they've got terrible names.
They're jokes,
but
not main characters.
But it's still a name. It's not initials.
Yeah, initials are a name. But so our heroes are trying to find this bridge, and they find the bridge, and we get this green screen.
Oh my god!
We get a bit shitty green screen of a bridge, because we're about to have more stock footage of something being demolished. So the robots, like, shoot the bridge, although we don't see them shoot or anything. It's just, like, we see them fly by, and then we get some pew-pew noises, and then we see the heroes in front of green screen of a bridge being demolished. And it's like, oh, shit.
I will say this.
We can't get past the bridge.
I will say this, though. You can tell that this is totally a 90s show, because, you know, this would not... this amount of destruction of property would not fly, you know, these days.
Man, just the fucking... I
don't want to drag us too far off on an off tangent, but like this green screen sucks so bad.
It is so bad. It is the worst.
It's even worse when you see the original 7-minute like pitch pilot where they use the exact same shot without the green screen. It's just the stock footage. And it's like, okay, sure. But then you see this and it's like just three people who are not meant to be there but are there.
and they just
cut to the heroes and then cut back like you did with the building.
Yeah,
like,
that was fine. Like, it was silly, but it was fine. Like,
yeah. Like, oh man, this, especially since you get like that, like there's a green tint on the heroes. Yep. Like, you could,
yeah,
that's what happens when you do shitty green screen.
And they like run forward, but the stock footage is on a slope, so they don't run like down with the slope. They just kind of fucking levitate when they move forward. It's really bad.
Like, green filter and like the sort of, I guess, fuzziness around them. I actually thought at first that they were in virtual reality in the scene. Like, oh, they're virtual. Oh, wait, no, that's just shitty green screen.
Yeah, I gotta admit, when I was a kid and I saw that stuff, I thought it was like an intentional comic book filter effect, which was also something a lot of 90s cartoons did.
Tiny George was like, no, man, you don't get it. It's a stylistic choice.
No, but I'm not kidding. Like, every single cartoon or show did this, including, like, remember when they brought back the Transformers and they did the weird CG bullshit effects? Those episodes.
God.
So yeah. That shit was on everything back then.
Like, I'll say, like, Tokusatsu does still have like bad green screen to this day when I watch it, but it's only bad in the sense that you notice, like, oh, it's just someone who's not meant to be there in the scene, and it's just like, oh, the background's a bit blurry or it's a bit flat, and the person's like completely crystal clear. It's nowhere near as bad as this bullshit, though. Holy Christ.
It's real bad. And speaking of things that are really bad, so our heroes need to take this bridge to get to the lab, and now it's destroyed, and like, oh no, how are we ever going to get to the lab?
This was amazing.
Then go to ad break,
yeah, and then it fades out, and we go to commercial, and to find out what happens after the commercial, you're going to have to wait through a quick break.
Nice.
Because we're going to take a break real quick. Be right back. Yep. And so we fade back in, and we get someone saying, "Glad we took that side road."
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's like, why did they even bother having that like cliffhanger if that's all they were going to do with it?
Yeah.
It's like they had the footage of the bridge blowing up, and they're just like, we have to use this.
If you got footage of a bridge blowing up, you use it.
Hey, like, don't want to interrupt, but I just want to clarify, because I actually gave it some thought during the break. The thing I said before about how the main bad guy actually comes up with a reasonable explanation for not sending his whole squad of monsters out at once, I don't think VR Troopers was the one that said that. That might have been Kamen Rider, the one they localized. What was it, Masked Rider? I think that was the one where the bad guys said that. So just want to, you know.
Actually, I think that was one of the later seasons of Power Rangers as well. I think it was Time
Force.
Had the same basic thing. Like, the bad guy did the same thing. He's like, I have all these monsters at my disposal, but they're only going to listen to me if I send them out one at a time.
That did come up at one point, and I do think that is a really good explanation, although, to this day, I wish they did come up with, like, an alternate Sailor Moon where the four generals did take out the Sailor Scouts at the same time, because they would be so screwed! There's no way they would be able to beat all four of them at the same time!
Well, I think the explanation for that was that they were, like, working in different parts of the world, or working on different objectives, or something like that.
Yeah, like, weren't the four generals also just kind of shitting on each other?
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. That's the problem. Yeah. They don't work together, but it's like, man, if they teamed up, like, they barely managed to handle Malachite / Kunzite by himself. Imagine if the other three were there. Holy shit, they would be taken out super fast.
This is the case for any of these shows.
I know, and it's frustrating. I know, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Bad can never work together.
Speaking of the power of teamwork.
Oh, yeah.
VR Troopers.
You are a master of segues, you know that? You're
take,
a master of segues.
Yep, only when I need to be. So, they take the side road that they're so glad they took, and they find this weird triangle archway thing. Like, this is really weird. It's got, like, a big diamond on the top, and then, like, the professor's voice comes out and says, please, enter the portal.
You know, just enter this weird fucking triangle in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You have no car! The bridge is blown up! You've got a dog with you! Enter the triangle!
I mean, what else do you have to lose at that point, you know?
I mean, it's not like there's ever been a history of people going missing in mysterious triangles. Fucking goddamn
it. Yeah, it's a typical...
this is the weirdest thing that just messed me up. Like, just, okay, we're just gonna listen to this ominous voice tell us to step into a triangle in the middle
of nowhere. Well, to be fair, at least they didn't knock you out and bring you to their HQ, which is something Professor X has done more than a few times with the X-Men. You wake up, it's like, where the hell am I? It's like, you're in my school for gifted youngsters. And I'm like, did you just fucking kidnap me?
Yep.
Also,
I mean, that's
how
you get heroes.
At least they recognize the voice from earlier, presumably.
Presumably, like, I hope they do.
Yeah. So they walk through the portal, and they come into a room that's full of science stuff. Like, that's the best way I could describe it. Like, it's Professor Hart's lab, which. It's weird that there's all this, like, manually controlled stuff in the lab, because Professor Hart, you know. He's just kind of in the computer. Like, he's on a TV screen on the wall. I don't think he physically exists. It's weird.
There's probably some backstory about how he's trapped in the virtual world, the same way Zordon was trapped in whatever they called it.
Time warp?
No, that Zordon was like...
Yeah, no, he's trapped in the time warp.
I don't think that's what they called it, but...
No, it
all
is.
Yeah, I know.
We've been talking about Power Rangers every week for months now. All it's right. Time warp.
But then they retconned that in the movie, and it turns out he was inside the tube the whole time.
But then the movie's not canon.
The movie's not canon. The movie takes place in a weird alternate.
I know.
One might say it takes place in the virtual.
One might say the producers are shitty with their continuity. That's what.
We know that, don't worry.
But speaking of shitty, so, basically the professor tells them, hey, so put on the VR visors that are on the little table there and you'll be able to see the virtual world. And they're like, we don't see any visors. And he says, you will. And then we get a shitty special effect and these fucking Viewmasters
PlayStation
show
VRs.
Up.
PlayStation VRs.
Yeah. No, they're more like the Viewmasters. You know those things that you put like the disc in, and then you click the thing, and you see like pictures of like Yellowstone Park or whatever.
Oh, those things!
Yeah.
Oh man.
And so the heroes put on the visors and they enter the Trapper Keeper dimension. They enter that one like Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode where Homer goes 3D.
Yeah, digitized nice
triangles.
Does anyone
and lines
once they do that? Does
shit.
Anyone in the group say this is just like a video game?
No, exactly.
It's another cliche I like.
I don't think 3D games are really
yet. See, it's the idea that VR equals like, video game, yeah. And that's something that they would always say.
I guess.
It's virtual.
So they enter.
No.
All right, so they enter the virtual world, and so Ryan's dad pulls a Mufasa here.
yeah.
Christ, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
yeah. So, like, a hologram, like a 3D digital recording. Like, actually, JB is the one to explain, like, that this is just a recording of a hologram of his dad and not the professor. So JB, I guess, just further shows that he knows his shit.
yeah, but, like, it was like a virtual reality playback something. Like, I can't remember the exact words he used, but yeah, like...
Something like that.
And, like, a question, how the fuck does he know that?
He's a computer wizard.
I don't know. It's a help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, and then, you know,
yeah,
Ryan
but it's not
reaches
like,
out to...
It's not like Obi-Wan. It'd be like fucking Chewbacca going, hey, yo, homie, you need to use the Force. Here's how you Force lightning.
Hey, we can't understand Chewbacca's audience. Maybe he did say that.
Fuck, I don't know. God damn.
I mean, hell, Disney's got Star Wars now. The continuity's just fucking up in the air at this point. No one knows what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So... Okay, so Ryan has this touching moment where he reaches out and, like, touches his dad's hand, and his dad explains the VR trooper powers, and we see, like, footage of the actors morphing into the suits, and... Okay, so when they have American footage of the suits, they look nothing like the tokusatsu footage of the suits.
I think I read that they were
the American suits are
hello,
so
hello,
shitty.
Tommy's.
I think I read they were kit-bashed versions of the Power Ranger suits. Like, they're just spandex using, like, the Power Ranger visors.
Or in Tommy's case, styrofoam shoulder pads.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, because there's a part where they put their hand on the shield and it just bends, like, cheap-ass styrofoam. And I was like, oh!
Well, we'll get to that in the show proper. But for now, so, basically, Ryan's dad explains the deal. So you got to fight these mutants known as Skugs. You got to fight the mutant robots. You got to fight them in the real world. And if you fail to fight them in the real world, you'll be sent to the battle grid.
Why?
Again, more Tron Legacy stuff. We're going to the grid.
Right?
Yeah.
God damn it.
So wait. You don't have that backwards? It's not that they don't fight the bad guys in the virtual world. They fight them in the real world?
They fight him in the real world first, and should they fail to win in the real world, they'll move to the
battle
grid.
Wouldn't that make more sense if it's the other way around? Like, if you fail to defeat them in the virtual world, they come loose in the real world?
Look, it makes perfect sense, okay?
It would make more sense. I don't see what that has to do with how this show is actually doing it, though.
You're asking for logic in this show. It doesn't exist.
Shame on me.
Yep, the battle grid, the dad says the battle grid is the last outpost... on the edge of the virtual black hole.
So we've got like, was it like the reality barrier, and now the virtual black hole, and the battle grid?
I just realized that Superhuman Cyber Squad's premise makes more sense than VR Trooper's premise, and that makes me a little sad.
Oh, fuck me. Jesus, does it?
It does, because it does exactly what I said. They fight the monsters in the virtual world with the fear that if they lose, they will break out into the real world. So Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad is the more accurate virtual tokusatsu show.
More historically accurate.
Wild.
Yeah, so the dad says, I wouldn't do this if I didn't think it was necessary. I love you, son. And then he says, I love you, dad. And they touch hands, and we get this shot of Ryan almost crying. Like, you kind of get the sense that he would cry if the actor was capable, but he's not, so he doesn't.
Hey, you know what? Emotions are hard.
Yeah, they are.
Give him some slap.
We get some sad
it could
music
also be,
as he takes off the visor.
It could also be the 90s mandate that main characters are not allowed to cry, which was a thing with certain shows, like the broadcast version of Cardcaptor Sakura, that they actually censored any time the character would cry, because that looked, you know, didn't look superhero-ish.
That is
I know
stupid.
It's, well, wow. Yeah, yeah.
I think this is the first time anyone's made any connection between VR Troopers.
Well, that's why I'm here.
I would have you know. Go to the wikis I've been onto. You'll find ways.
Well, okay.
Okay,
speaking
what kind of wikis are you going to?
Speaking of transforming into a magical girl,
yep.
We get the transformation virtualizers. They're the VR magic pendant things that our heroes get, and they look really dumb. They're like triangles with jewels on them, I guess.
But like, why would cybernetic like mechanical warriors have magical pendants? Like, just what?
Dude, if you've seen Michael Bay's Transformers, you know full well that Hollywood producers don't know how robots are. They don't know how technology works. You know, everything is magic.
I know.
I don't know. I feel like VR Troopers is more grounded than Bayformer Transformers.
Yeah, Bayformers is Transformer heaven. So you know, like. Holy shit,
did have Transformers heaven. Fuck you, I managed to forget that.
Shia LaBeouf is Transformers
Jesus. I'll have you know that if Michael Bay adapted VR Troopers, the main hacker would be a fat Hispanic or something, and the army would get involved somehow and bomb the building that the main bad guy lived in while an American flag was waving in the background. Whatever.
Yeah,
the camera would
awesome
shake and there'd be dust.
Yeah,
and smoke
I'm trying to make this sound dumb and I'm failing miserably.
No, it's don't worry, it still sounds dumb. Trust
all
me.
All I want to know is what is the catchphrase for the characters when they transform? Because I forgot what it was.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Oh yeah. We'll get to it.
And in fact, it's actually right here. So, as they're putting on the necklaces, Professor Hart is like, "By putting these on, you accept the responsibility of being VR troopers." And it's like, as he says that, JB's already put his on. So I kind of want JB to be like, "Oh, yeah, wait,
They accept this whole thing right away, don't they? Because even the Power Rangers took a moment to be like, "Yo, man, we don't want to do this. We're just kids."
Yeah, like the Zach saying, "Like, guys, I don't know about you, but we just got talked to by a giant head in a tube."
These three just like come right into it and accept it. They're like, "Yeah, okay."
They just roll with it. I mean, I kind of get Ryan going with it because, like, it's his dad, and also he was probably vaguely aware that his dad was a scientist. But JB...
Ryan, dude,
like,
I never even met your dad.
Caitlin, like... Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and JB, like, he's kind of a computery guy, like, so I can kind of... Like, he knew what the hologram thing was, so I can even kind of understand him going along with this. Caitlin's just kind of their friend. Like, she's just a reporter.
No, she's a nice...
Like, she's the hot scoop. She's gonna get in all the hot stories.
Yeah, exactly. What a scoop! What a hot story.
Except she has to keep this shit secret.
I mean, you do stuff with the story. Like, come on.
Well, all right. So,
look, again, we're asking for logic. We can't.
Okay. Well, speaking of not asking for logic, we cut to... before they actually transform, we cut over to Grimlord's, like, lair... And we get his troops, like, again, they start saying, like, "Hail, Grimlord, Master of..." And then he cuts them off by, like, "Silence!" And
I've heard
he
this
every day,
you fuckers.
Yeah, I'm getting so sick of this shit, you guys. And then he sends some monsters out, and they fire lasers and missiles and just do all kinds of bad shit.
They fire lasers and missiles and just, like, unload with machine guns at nothing. There's nothing in the shots that they're shooting at fucking rocks. Not even like
those
the
rocks are the barrier between
just
the worlds.
Rocks.
Yeah, see?
As far as I'm aware, they're just going out for target practice and just shooting fucking rocks.
Well, they're shooting at the real world because they hate the real world, rocks and all.
Well, I fucking hate the real world too, and I also shoot at the real world, so I guess I can sympathize
with
these.
That's kind
villains.
Of a dark joke,
yeah.
But
yeah, we're not going to go there.
Well, I mean, it's kind of too late. But anyway, speaking of going there, I guess, an alarm goes off, and Professor Hart's like, "Oh, fuck balls, you guys. There's monsters attacking."
Not, you know, not verbatim from the script. I wish. I wish.
VR troop.
Because, like, to the audience listening, like, you don't understand how funny this is until you actually see Professor Hart, like, in the show. Imagining him saying, "Oh, fuck balls, they're here."
Why has nobody done a, like, YouTube parody of these shows? No,
oh,
I'm not talking
plenty.
About that bullshit, whatever that Power Ranger movie thing was. I'm talking about something that's actually, you know, funny.
No, I mean, plenty of stuff. But, I mean, there were parodies of this kind of show at the time, too. So anyway, so the professor tells them, like, in order to transform, just say Trooper Transform.
That's so lame.
And so,
yeah, yep, that's no Henshin a go go.
That, yeah, that's.
It's sure as hell not an it's morphing
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
I mean, you could come up with a better thing like around the spot. Like, I'll do it right now. Like, let's get virtual. That's way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that.
Holy
I do think
shit.
That's
that sounds like something. What's the name of the ranger in Yogi Bear?
The what? Ranger Smith.
That sounds like something he would say.
I think. Yep. But they say Trooper Transform, and then the music kicks in, and they hold up the things, and we get this kind of weird sequence of. Okay, so it's edited so that it's them turning into the robots. But they take pictures of the American actors and then deliberately like lower their quality so they're just as grainy as the other footage.
Yeah.
So that they can slowly morph into the robots, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
I will say this. They're not technically robots in Tokusatsu. They're humans who become cybernetic warriors. Like.
It's not really robot. Okay.
All right. So it's. Actually, maybe these are straight up the transformation sequences from the Tokusatsu.
They're
just edited.
Similar, I'll say. From what I've seen, like, the poses are similar. I imagine, yeah, because a lot of the time, the Metal Heroes, like, Henshin transformation sequences involve these particle sequences with CGI, so they might actually be the same
sequences. I think the simplest answer is that, to Power Rangers' credit, they would actually take the time to build, like, American versions of costumes or monsters when necessary, but VR Troopers doesn't do that shit. It just straight up takes the footage and tries its very best to superimpose the American actors with the footage.
Yeah. Well, Power Rangers didn't even really get that ability to do that until they were about a year or so in.
No, I mean, no, right from the first...
They had the costumes, they just didn't bother to show them with
their
helmets
like,
off.
Right from the first episode, they had, you know, the costumes, and they redid the transformation sequences, but...
I don't think they had the, like, Zord and monster costumes and stuff.
No, well, no, not the monster. But my point is, VR Troopers clearly is of a much lower budget, so it's not even doing that much. It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, we actually got a very brief shot of the American version of these costumes in this episode just earlier, and they looked so shitty.
I guess I'm wrong. All I remember is that in Season 2, they actually do come up with an American version of the main bad guy, like... They build a costume for the main bad guy in the second season, and it does look noticeably better. That's all I remember.
Yeah, that's something they eventually had to do with Power Rangers as well. Like, you know, Lord Zedd is an American invention, and so on.
They do something similar, but in this case, it's just an American version of what's this guy, Zictor, whatever the hell his name is.
Zictor, yeah. So, well, Zictor is his human form, and then Grimlord is. Yeah. So anyway, so our heroes trooper transform. They go to the battle. And Caitlyn immediately gets punched.
Yep, straight away.
Just first thing that happens. She gets punched by this disconnected fist that's moving through the air, because one of the monsters they're fighting is this guy who can just shoot his fists off, like
Rocket
Rayman
punch.
Style.
Yep.
Yeah,
I told you, they are Mega Man bosses. They are freaking Mega Man bosses.
Yeah, so, and, like, this is a whole lot of our heroes getting their...
They just started, man.
Like, Ryan... Yeah, but this is supposed to be a triumphant thing. It's like, yeah, we got superpowers! And then Ryan kind of runs away, and then Caitlyn gets punched. And then JB, like, he takes a sword out, because I guess JB has a sword.
Oh, no, they all have swords. They all got the swords.
I think JB's the only one who we see using one in this, though.
I'm trying to think. I guess in this first sequence, yeah. But traditionally, a lot of the Metal Heroes, like, Metal Hero Heroes... tend to have swords.
Okay. But yeah, we only see JB use a sword in this. This fight's actually kind of really shitty. Like, so we get Caitlyn saying, JB, I'll distract him! And then she doesn't do anything. And then JB kind of fights the dude, and then Professor Hart says, JB, you have a laser lance, use it! And it's like, wait, hold on, what? His sword turns into, like, he draws a laser blade out the back end of his sword, like it becomes a Darth Maul thing.
Multi-tool.
Yeah, basically. And then it stretches out, like, fucking, like, Goku's...
Power pole.
Power pole, yeah. And then it fucking impales the guy.
Yeah! Like, just straight up right through.
Yeah, like I said, it's a bit more brutal than Power Rangers. Even though Power Rangers have impaled a few monsters in their time, but...
Yeah, but I don't think we quite see it in this level of detail of like, yep, that's the thing sticking out the back of the guy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it, because that is the exact same way he finishes off every other monster.
Yay!
Yep. Yep.
More impalement!
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'm all about impalement. And speaking of people getting their shit ruined, Ryan is fighting, I'm not sure who, just one of the robots, I guess. And, like, he's talking mad amounts of shit. He's like, yeah, I'm fast enough. Yeah, I'm strong enough. We're going to do this. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. And then they do, like, the samurai movie thing where they run at each other.
Yep.
And then Ryan gets his shoulder slashed. And then he starts freaking out, like sparks start flying out of him. He spins around.
He just keeps
He's like, oh god,
around.
I'm losing power. I'm out of control. And then he just falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. Like, it's like he's in a fighter jet, but no, dude, you're in a suit. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Spoiler alert. If, somewhere around halfway through the series, the two of them have an epic rematch. Like, this is supposed to be the big, I'm going to pay you back for this fight. And it's the exact same fight as you're seeing here. Literally the exact same footage. I'm not joking. I remember that. I was awesome. Disappointed because I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be awesome. And it's like, oh, it's the exact same fight.
Oh, this is great. So he falls off a cliff, and then I guess JB and Caitlin just kind of leave.
Yeah, we're good.
Like they go back to the lab, and they're like, oh, God, Professor, we don't know where Ryan went. And he's like, use the geothermal scanner. And so JB sits down at just a regular-ass computer. There's all these, like, futuristic, like, buttons and dials and lights all over the walls, but there's just, like, a regular-ass computer in the corner. And so JB hits some buttons. Like, we get this crappy scanning effect, and after, like, 2 seconds of scanning, JB's like, oh, God, we can't find him. Oh, man, this is bad. And then we cut to Grimlord, and he is so fucking stoked. It's like, yeah, we destroyed one of the VR troopers, and now we're going to destroy the other two. This is great. Yeah, we're going to conquer the world. And then we get a shot of Ryan kind of lying in the desert, I guess unconscious. I'm not sure.
I think he's just lying on the cliffside. Like,
I guess, yeah. And then we get to be continued.
So you're saying the last scene of him being by a cliff is a cliffhanger?
Oh, fuck's sake.
More like a
cliffhanger. I didn't make the connection until just now. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so while the rest of us murder George, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our final thoughts.
Except for George, because he's dead.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Ah, come on, you enjoyed it.
Not when my mane is
So, ladies and gentlemen, final thoughts on the first episode of VR Troopers.
I forgot to say when we were talking about that fight scene at the end, that whole thing, like, was a huge mess. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you put two shows.
That's where it really stood out, that they chopped up like three different series, because holy crap, like, it was just all over the place. Things were cutting and transitioning, like, before things could finish happening. Like, it was so messy, and like, it sucked.
Well, that's what happens when you splice two shows that have nothing to do with each other together.
Yeah, like, Power Rangers three already shows. Has now, hold, now, just with
now,
one.
Now, wait, hang on a sec. When you're saying three shows, you mean it was actually three shows right from the start?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So wait. So you got the one show with Ryan, with Ryan being that one character. You got the other show.
I don't actually
with...
know what goes with what, but yeah, like, there's three tokusatsu shows that went into this.
So what the
this.
Heck is the third show then?
Okay, so you've got Matilda, which is where Ryan's character is from.
Yeah,
his suit.
Right.
You've got Spielbaum, which is where JB and Kaylin's suits are from.
Right.
And you've got Shida, which is, I think, where some of the enemies came from as well.
Wait. So basically any enemy you see that doesn't fight either of the heroes is
because there's a lot of enemies just kind of firing wildly into nothing.
But don't we see the heroes actually fight them?
Sometimes. Not all of them. Sometimes, yeah. I don't know. Like, I think Shida like provided some of the footage where they used up almost all their footage they could use from Spielbaum and Matilda, because
that's weird.
A big deal in like Metal Heroes is that there's a lot of human on human or human on monster fights, not really like as much costume fights as Sentai or Kamen Rider.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's why they can't really use all that footage. So I guess they just had a lot less footage to use. It's really fucking weird.
Well, as I said, the show does have a problem where it actually repeats fights, so there probably was not a lot of material to go with.
Yeah. But man, I was watching this at like past midnight. I really was like losing my mind watching this. Like there's such a weird fucking dissonance in tone. Like, you've got the like sad backstory with Ryan and his dad. You've got then Woody, just fucking Woody as an existence. Like, his thing just messes with me. Just his entrance, just like that weird comedic shifting camera angles, like, just and then you've got Jeb the dog just randomly appearing in shots.
You've also
like,
got,
and not even like just in the background, just we're focusing on Jeb now, like, why?
You've also
like, I have dogs, to establish him so that when he becomes the talking dog.
Matt, can I say how criminal it is that the awesome sensei character, how criminally underutilized he is?
Yep.
You think he would have been the mentor?
Is he an
or
awesome character?
He is because, well, he is because way later in the show he actually gets a fight scene where he takes on the putties in a bit where they invade his dojo, and it's a legitimately cool scene because he uses his actual martial arts to fight, and even ends that fight by having the enemies retreat, and he says like a cool one-liner at the end, something like next time make a reservation or something like that, something real cheesy, but again, it was cool, and that is literally the only time he actually does anything in that show.
Something I'd like to point out about the fight scene at the end of that we didn't touch on, they actually show like a point of view shot from like what the team is seeing from like inside their visors.
Yeah.
Holy shit, their visors are total fucking garbage.
Yep. It looks like a fucking what, like, I don't know, a bad Doom ripoff sometimes. Like the HUD is just fucked up.
Yeah, it looks like Doom if you're, like, trying to play it on, like, a really new graphics card that it's not compatible with, and it starts displaying on, like, two separate screens, and it just goes batshit.
Yeah, there are two separate screens, like, one smaller visor up top and the larger one what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's not even, like, thermal imaging. It just has, like, this shitty-looking green, I don't even know what the fuck.
Like, it's kind of staticky.
Yeah.
I think that's just what Saban thinks RoboVision is supposed to look like. Cause,
RoboVision?
Yeah, because in the first episode of Power Rangers, we get a POV shot from what Alpha is seeing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's true, yeah.
And it's the same basic filter.
It's basically 90s VR. Like, this is what VR looks like, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, that's fucking stupid because RoboCop was out at this point. There's no more excuses after that. Because RoboCop is awesome.
There's no more excuses for all of humanity with RoboCop.
This show did not have RoboCop budget.
No, it didn't.
Like this,
did any of you...
Whatever city this takes place in does not have the money that Detroit has.
Did any of you ever point out that RoboCop is technically a tokusatsu?
Tokusatsu? I mean, yeah. Look, like, Thomas the Tank Engine counts as tokusatsu.
Like, no, I mean, literally, they got the idea for his design from like, one of these shows.
Yeah, I'm totally not surprised by that.
Yeah,
it fits. Like,
wow, your entire childhood is from Japan. Think about that.
Yes,
holy shit!
Yeah, it's the best thing.
Yeah, fucking RoboCop.
Oh, well, but
so
what about the Disney
after?
We're
not talking about
what
that.
About the Disney afternoon? Oh, guess what? Japanese animators. Sorry.
But yeah, right. The fight scene fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Yep. It was. Sucked. Yeah, a lot of, I know I'm being real hard on this show, and I. I was actually really surprised to hear George come in and be like, yeah, I watched this all the time as a kid. It's
I didn't say
great.
I watched
like,
it
oh,
all the
man.
Time. I'm just saying of the times I did catch it, I was enjoying it.
Yeah. But
I don't know if you're planning to cover the whole series. I assume you're not. But there is, a good arc involving Ryan and his father.
We're probably going to revisit this time and again. The thing with these bonus episodes is there's no real schedule. And while we're at least initially going to focus on bouncing from pilots of shows to shows to shows. Like, there's no reason we can't go back and touch on a series we've already touched
right.
on.
Right, well,
again.
In the case of VR Troopers, I would probably just jump ahead, because again, the show is repetitive as shit. I would just jump ahead to the arc where he meets his father, because that's actually some pretty decent stuff, if I recall. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about our plans for the bonus episode kind of thing in just a bit, but first... So since we're not really answering like listener emails at the ends of these bonus episodes, because you know we don't really plan that far.
You get emails?
Like, yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
That's Facebook questions.
But the point is we don't really plan or announce that far in advance like what these bonus episodes are going to be. I mean, this time we know that the next one's going to be part two of this, but you know we're not really doing that on the bonus show. But I think since what we're doing on these bonus episodes is bouncing from show to show, I think kind of the final thing we should do is just have each person in turn ask them this question. Having watched what we just watched, and this, again, hypothetically, if we weren't already planning on watching the second part of this, would you keep watching this show? So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with our guests, and we'll start with you, George. Having watched this, would you keep
watching? That's kind of a hard question because, as I mentioned before, when this first premiered, it premiered with both episodes as sort of a premiere movie or whatever you want to call it. So I think it was originally cut to be just one episode, so, you know, I don't know. The original cut was supposed to be the two episodes spliced together. Like, it didn't...
Well, watching this as an adult.
Okay, as an adult,
would you keep watching it?
Well, yes. I would first, you know, analyze why the hell was I watching this in the first place. But
well, for this show,
I guess for curiosity's sake, yeah, I would watch the second episode. I mean, you know, it's a cliffhanger. Why not?
All right, so Wade, would you keep watching?
Well, like, there's a lot of issues with this for sure. And I feel like the only part of it that I really enjoyed was the villain, the cheesy-ass villain, and his cool office, and his dumb transformation, and all his dumb generals gathering around him. That part alone kind of makes me, like, want to see a couple more episodes, just to see if there's more stuff like that.
Yeah, again,
so I would probably give it a chance for, like, another two or three episodes.
Yeah, like I said, the highlight was...
And then realizing, oh, it's still bad, so then I'd stop.
Yeah, the highlight was him having his whole army... together like that. That was like a cool sequence. So
yeah, like there's elements that feel like they could be fun and promising, but so I'd probably give it a shot, I guess.
Alright. Sure. Alright, so Jules, would you keep watching this?
No. I actually want to go watch the Metal Hero series this was based on now, because I've not really given much attention to Metal Heroes. Now I kinda want to, and I want to leave VR Troopers to just, I don't know, rot in the virtual reality space, because this was fucking, oh god, making me lose my mind at past midnight. Just, is this real? Is this happening? What the fuck is going on?
Well, hopefully we'll get some more answers for part two. But how about you, Matt? If you weren't like part of this whole thing, like, would you keep watching this show?
I would, but only because, like, I've committed already. Like, I'm already committed to this bad idea. I shouldn't have watched the first part, but that's in the past. Gotta see how it ends. And, yeah, like, the just super fucking scummy tycoon, just fuck you overlord, just fighting the hippies. That's really what I want this show to be. I'm trying to get... I really want this show to be about fighting hippies, but I don't.
They design this episode, where, like, they don't get their powers until the very end, there's, like, a very short fight, but like, they leave you thinking, like, the big fight is to come in part two.
No.
So it's like, thinking about it, it's like, okay, maybe I'll check out part two to see how the action really is.
Yeah, man, you gotta see what the Megazord looks like.
There is no Megazord.
Yeah, I'm just imagining.
There's a flying tank.
I will say that.
I did watch the second part already, because I had to, kind of to answer the question for my turn. Like, watching part one of this, like, it was bad. It was real bad. But, like, you get to that to be continued, and you're like, okay, I have to know where this is going. I immediately turned around and watched the second half.
I'll say this. It's not
because you gotta know.
It's not the fight. It's not how the plot ends that I want to, like, see in the second episode. It's you mentioning that the dog talks. I need to see that. I need to fucking see that. Especially when I realize,
yeah, I don't remember,
like,
that.
The credits that the dog, like, the person who voices the dog is the same voice actor as Goldar.
Holy shit, what?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love, because I was looking at the Wikipedia page for this.
He's not doing the same voice, yeah, it's the same guy.
Whoa!
I wish he was doing the same
voice. But that guy typically plays, like, old men characters or monsters. And now he plays a dog?
Huh. Well, no, because I love the way it's described on the Wikipedia page. Jeb the dog, played by Zeb, voiced by Kerrigan Mahan, impersonating Jack Nicholson.
Wow. Yep. How do I...
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Now I... Okay, awesome. now you have to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, now I have to go fuck. Well, now I gotta see how this plotline resolves itself. Like.
But speaking of plotline resolves, I have half a feeling I'm gonna boot up the next episode, and all it's gonna be is the guy getting up and being like, "Oh, it's a good thing I have that power restorer," and it's like, "Oh, fuck off."
I almost said pleasantly surprised, but I'm just gonna say surprised.
He's actually saved now by a roving band of hippies who.
I was gonna say he's saved by the dog.
Oh, man.
That'd be okay.
I wish.
Just
that
not hippies, please. Not stupid fucking.
What if the dog's a hippie?
Yeah,
I will personally go to every fucking thrift store I can find and destroy every single fucking VHS, DVD, or whatever the fuck copy of this goddamn show I can find.
Hey, Matt.
You'll have to destroy the Netflix servers.
Hey, Matt. You know what I love? You know what I love about mud? It's clean. It's clean and it's dirty at the same time.
I don't even fucking know what the hell you're talking about.
Dennis Hopper and Super Mario Brothers. Yeah,
movie,
that's his best.
Yeah.
Oh god damn it! No, no more Super Mario Brothers movie for you. No, 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 no.
Monkey.
Oh man. Well, speaking of terrible ideas, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us at TeensWithTude on Twitter. You can get a hold of us at teenswithtude@gmail.com as an email, or join our Facebook group, Teenagers with Attitude.
You have a Facebook?
Yeah, we do. We have a Facebook. And what I want to do to encourage you all to join those four is, with these bonus episodes, like, we kind of have what we're doing a little bit planned out. We're going to do the other half of VR Troopers, and then we're going to do some Big Bad Beetleborgs, and really any show related to Power Rangers or similar
Super
to Power
Human
Rangers.
Superhuman Cyber Squad.
On.
We got to do that one.
Oh, yep, that's got to get in there.
Kamen Rider Dragonite.
But, Kamen Rider Dragonite, absolutely. But we also want to take some suggestions from you, the listener. If there is a show that you want us to discuss, something weird that we don't know about, maybe it was just really obscure, maybe it's from another country, like we'll watch weird, you know, 90s shows from other countries.
But not,
I'm sure Jules has some weird Australian show that they can throw.
But not
at us.
Anime.
I could probably show you guys the Australian Ultraman as well as the Chinese Tokusatsu.
Oh,
nothing from Japan, right? Only Japanese shows that have been filtered in the US.
No, maybe something from Japan. I know we want to watch Japanese Spider-Man at some point.
Yes.
Cuz that stuff's crazy. But yeah, so if you've got something you want us to discuss, like, send it our way. there's going to be some restrictions. This is a nostalgia show, so whatever it is, we'd like it to be at least 10 years old or so. We'd prefer kids shows. That's not a hard and fast rule, but we'd prefer that. And whatever it is, like, we need it to be either on Netflix or in full on YouTube. Just some way that we can watch it. We're not putting money into this thing. This is an amateur
podcast.
Will
you take suggestions from guests?
Sure.
I got one. The Guyver starring David Hayter.
No, that's Guyver 2. That's Guyver 2.
I know. I tricked him. I want it to be both Guyvers. The first Guyver had Mark Hamill.
God, it did, didn't it?
Well, we're trying to stick to TV shows for now.
But it's Tokusatsu. It's 90s. You know, it kind of fits.
Tokusatsu. God damn it.
I just call them Power Ranger shows. So.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but anyhow, so for suggestions for that or just general feedback, if you have something you want to ask us about VR Troopers, like, we don't really answer the emails on the bonus show, but we'll answer your questions on the main show. Again, at TeensWithTude on Twitter, TeensersWithAttitude on Facebook, or TeensWithTude@gmail.com to get a hold of us. And that's about it. Do any of our guests have something they want to plug before we go?
I guess just quickly, you can always reach me at GatsbyLow on Twitter, and I write for Women Write About Comics.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. I've got a YouTube account, as I usually bring up on podcasts. Cruise Control, KRUSE, spelled like my last name. It's an LP channel, Let's Plays, video games, unique ID, original stuff there. So, yeah, if you want to hear me ramble over video games, check that out.
All right, and George?
I have a podcast that generally deals with video games or things that are usually related to JRPGs and such, and that is the South Figaro podcast. We are a weekly podcast. Several of the people you've heard here tend to join in that podcast, including Mike and Matt and Wade, and desperately need more emails sent to that. You know, I'm kind of shocked that this one gets emails, so please take a listen and possibly send some emails as well, and I'll gladly read them. And I guess that's it. I guess that's the only thing I'll plug.
All right, well, for Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Mike.
I've been Matt.
I've been Jules.
I've been Wade.
Oh, and I've been George, I guess.
It's okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's all right. Everyone has a little trouble the first time. And may the power protect you always.
Let's get virtual.
Phrasing.
Troopers!